flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
All right, Bob, I'll pose the question. I believe it was Donnie Football. I don't remember who was first to pose it. If you took a poll inside that Steelers locker room next season, a secret poll to every single player, and you said, who would you prefer as our starting quarterback, Russell Wilson or Justin Fields? How do you think that poll would turn out? Landslide one way or the other? Split? What?
Would you include coaches in this? All coaches?
Well, there's only about four of them, but yes. No, just players.
Just players. I'm sure you have a divide. I bet you'd be 60-40 for Russell Wilson, but I think there are others on that team who believe they'd like to see what runway looks like for Justin Fields. But I do believe the older guys, for reasons that are strictly their own, they want to try to win now before this is all over. And maybe they look at him, and one of the reasons he was brought here in the first place is for that reason. So I would say 60-40.
How about you, City Game?
I think 70-30 in favor of Justin Fields.
So do I.
Like, I think that what we saw in the final five-game stretch with Russ, I mean, it didn't put much confidence in me if I was a player that Russ is going to be able to get it done when the rubber meets the road and you face the toughest competition.
I think these guys know in the end, Bob, and sort of playing on what you said earlier, I think we know and they know what they're going to get from Russell. It's not all bad, but they know it's not good enough. And I would bet that a large portion of them want to see if Fields can get to that level. You know what I mean?
Well, that's what I would think, but again, I think the guys who are nearing an end, you know, short term, who's a better answer? I don't know. I still think Fields has.
Who do you think Tomlin wants to go with if he injected him with true serum?
Probably Wilson.
Really?
I think that's why he went to Wilson when he did.
I think Fields. I think Tomlin, if it was solely, and maybe it is solely up to him, by the way, would go Fields all the way. I do. I think they saw at the end some of what Denver saw with Russ.
I think Arthur Smith would go Fields, 100%.
That too.
So, you know, just depends.
Listen, Bob, they went into the playoffs and they went into their final game against Cincy and all those games, and it became progressively worse to the point where Tomlin didn't trust. The one thing you figured he would do with Russell Wilson this year is hand games to him and just say,
go win.
You've been there.
Right.
You do it. You know, you do what you think is best, change at the line. Anything you want, do. You're Russell Wilson. By the end, the old handcuffs were out on him, too. He didn't believe it. What's the point?
Is that
his
fault? Is that his fault?
Whose fault?
Is that Russell Wilson's fault?
Well, he wasn't good, but not necessarily.
Yeah, but I mean, if he's being limited by play calling, that indicates that we don't want to make a mistake. We're not going to throw the ball down the field.
Well, I think that was born of him playing badly first. Like, he trusted him in Cincy.
Yeah,
they trusted him in Cincy to go win a game.
I mean, if
for
you,
them.
You can understand why people in Denver last year. I remember talking to a guy who I had on a Saturday show I did. And he said, those numbers for you will be misleading. They look good. 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. And we looked at that and said, man, that's an upgrade over what has been happening here.
And it was.
And it was. But I remember him at the time saying, you will see this play out. And the numbers will look good, but you won't feel like those numbers were legitimately what he did.
That I would buy right now. And it's also the relentless, and as Mark Schlereth called it, the toxic positivity. I just wonder how that plays. Like, do we have something or somebody who's real here? Or is it just like a Saturday Night Live skit where the worst imaginable things are happening and he's looking at the positive in everything? It's like, no, this isn't good. Do we have Russ from his final news conference after a season that fell apart like none in recent or maybe ever in Steelers history, where you lose 5 straight, including a playoff game, and very few people thought or maybe still think that Russ is going to be the guy moving forward, yet you get this, Bob, that it's a very exciting time to be a Pittsburgh Steeler.
You got more of it on the Pat McAfee show when he was soliciting, it seemed, for his job in Pittsburgh.
And I wonder how guys sort of view that. I wonder how they viewed Russell over time. I liked him coming in here. There's things about him I still like, but it became clear to me by the end of the year that when you're facing the best of the best and you're trying to go from high-end mediocrity or even good to great, he's not the guy.
No, and the age is the reason, too. He's not what he once was.
Fields at least has a chance to get better. Russ will only get worse.
That's why I prefer, if I'm going to keep one of the two, it's got to be him, because he has a runway that's longer than the one that Russell Wilson has. So, but you still have to factor in the future. And I don't want them, if I'm them, I wouldn't want to make a mistake of rushing to judgment, chasing a quarterback pick just because I need one. Sometimes
they've already done that.
And that's the lesson you learn. If you start doing that, it's going to lead to a relentless end of trying to find the right guy. You're just going to have too much overhead, and you're never going to be in a position to draft it the right way. Unless you completely fall apart, which, you know, would give you better odds. Although, I will say this. You talked about the top 6 picks we just went over that Austin named. 2 of those teams you can probably move up to for – I don't know that they have quarterbacks. Drake May, unless New England and Mike Vrabel thinks he's not the man, they're not going to draft a quarterback with a 4th overall pick. If you want to be aggressive, if you believe – say Cam Ward is the guy you want, and you've determined he, and you want to be aggressive and move up from 21 to 4, you can make a deal with New England if you want. And they would like to probably have some of the assets you have on your team.
I agree with you.
But they won't do that, because I don't think they're convinced Cam Ward or anyone else in this draft is going to be that person.
Meaning I agree with the idea that if they really wanted that, they could do it.
You can do it next year, too.
As an aside here, Bob, one of the big complaints with the Steelers is their predictability. Certainly, it's been offensively now for years. They are way too predictable. Even when they got off to that 12-0 start under Ben, as soon as the Commanders sort of unmasked that Randy Feuchner throw short, hopefully run long offense, that's all they had. Mm-hmm. And Ben was really good at doing that year for a long time. But once that got unmasked, even that team was predictable. This team was hopelessly predictable, with Artie running on first down all the time, even though they were the worst first down team in the NFL, and also one of the worst fourth down teams. So now we're only down to second or third down, Bob, where you can be good. They weren't real good there either. But Julian Edelman talked the other day about the predictability of the Steelers' defenses year by year under Mike Tomlin. You've lamented this as you watch Steve Spagnuolo unleash one creative blitz after another, and compare it to the Steelers always doing the same thing. And while they put...
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yep.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season two. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And while it can lead to some fancy regular season numbers, when you get down to playing good teams with good coaches and good quarterbacks who can dissect them, well, then you get a Mike Tomlin defense that becomes the first in the history of professional football to allow 40 or more points in three straight playoff games. They haven't come close to stopping a playoff opponent since they went to Kansas City in 2016 and stifled the great Alex Smith. And I say that slightly sarcastically, Bob, because the Chiefs thought so much of Alex Smith that year that they went out and drafted Mahomes in the draft and moved from 27th to 10th. But we all remember these games. The one that launched the current losing streak they're on, the Steelers were actually having a very good season all the way to the AFC Championship game. But Julian Edelman remembers how predictable they were. One of the things they did was on inside receivers constantly having a linebacker on them. And I can tell you, I had just started for the Post-Gazette. I was like the new kid at school. I felt like Dulac and Bouchette didn't want me there. They didn't like me, Bob. So I was sitting by myself, but watching the game, before the snap, I'm like, wait, James Harrison is matched up one-on-one with Edelman or whoever, you know, they had a bunch of Edelman lookalikes. Yeah. That's not going to end well. I mean, anybody could see it. This was Edelman talking on a podcast recently about this, and this just does not reflect well on Mike Tomlin or the Steelers, in my opinion.
You knew exactly what they were doing every time, and they still do what they do. They still do the same damn that when I was playing Tomlin's defense.
Steeler football.
I'm like, what the? We still have linebackers covering the three slot?
Yeah.
Every time we play the Steelers, I have at least nine catches.
Coach,
you would think that they would change it.
Right.
No, but they do what they do.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah, from a player who benefited from that approach. And again, I keep talking about blitzing. And, you know, you can make a case. Like, I had some guy come back at me where I was talking about Spagnuolo, and I really love the way he mixes things up. He said, well, nice defensive performance. They gave up 29 points. Okay, fine. You're playing a high-powered offense, number one. But in critical situations, when you needed to make a play, what does he do? And I'm talking about the last play of the game, but others like it. They surprise you with a corner blitz. You wouldn't have expected it at fourth down and long, and they have to get – you'd expect flooding back, just don't let anything – but no, he went after him, forced a throw, which was a good throw and a drop as it turned out. But the point is, you have to disguise, you have to do different things to create havoc so that that quarterback, as experienced as he is going to have indecision on his head.
And
you can't do it unless you get pressure. And if you're relying on four people all the time just to get pressure, you're not going to get it all the time. That leaves everyone back there in zone. They could pick apart zones. If you can't get...
Well, that was the other thing, was a lot of that was soft, little soft, living in our fears zone defense. But then when it was man-to-man, I mean, the very least you can do is get a defensive back to cover a receiver. We've seen that too many times over the years. Mike Tomlin has three playoff wins in the past 14 years. Can you name the quarterbacks he beat in those games, Bob?
The guy Moore, one of them, right?
Matt Moore.
Matt Moore. Wonder what he's doing now.
Not playing football.
Bortles, right?
They didn't beat Bortles. They didn't beat Bortles.
Oh, you're talking about winning. I'm talking about, okay.
Yeah, he has three playoff wins in the last 14 years. Who were the three quarterbacks he beat? Matt Moore. Alex Smith, I mentioned him.
Alex was a good quarterback, but yeah, that's the highest one on their list, I'm sure. And the other one was?
A.J. McCarron.
McCarron, the backup
in Cincinnati,
right? The last
time the Steelers beat an elite quarterback in the playoffs, you know, kids are in college and don't remember that. It's incredible. It really is. And after they beat Alex Smith and Matt Moore in a row, and they had a great year that year. You get me to the AFC title game, that's awesome. But they had probably no chance to beat the Patriots. They could play that game 100 times with or without Le'Veon Bell, and Bill Belichick and Brady were going to destroy them in Foxborough. They gave up 36 points to Brady. He could have scored 80. They gave up 38 points defensively anyway to Blake Bortles, 45 in the game overall. Baker Mayfield and the Browns put 41 on them offensively, 48 total. The Chiefs and Mahomes, 42. I mean, this is historic, embarrassing stuff. Josh Allen last year, 31. If he needed 50, he could have gotten it. And Lamar this year, 28. If he needed 50, they could have run on them and passed on them all day long. It's incredible, really, to watch it. And then to hear how, like, what's the word I'm looking for? How it just is the polar opposite of what you hear from national media types who talk about Tomlin and his defenses. Like, this is, you know, the Steelers always have a great defense. Well, yeah, until they play a good team and then they get shredded in historic fashion. And you can watch it from a press box and say things like, wow, is James Harrison really going to cover Julian Edelman on this play? Because he's going to run either a quick slant or really anything he wants against a guy who can't cover him. And Brady knows that, and Brady's going to throw the ball to him. And you have a guy on the record who's won Super Bowls and tortured the Steelers who feels no hesitation whatsoever saying this to the world, Bob.
You knew exactly what they were doing every time. And they still do what they do. They still do the same damn that when I was playing Tomlin's defense.
Steeler football.
I'm like, what the? We still have linebackers covering the three slot?
Yeah.
Every time we play the Steelers, I have at least 9 catches.
Coach,
you would think that they would change it.
Right.
No, but they do what they do.
I don't know that I've heard a quote as damning as that from somebody in his position. Have you, Bob? I mean, that.
No, that was straight to the heart there and straight to what was going on. So if you know it's predictable, then you can have success against it. That's why, you know, I miss the days of Dick LeBeau. When you brought in all sorts of pressure from all different angles, and you really, again, these guys are smart. These quarterbacks normally are. In order to create a second of indecision, it could lead to a turnover, an incomplete pass, or something in your favor. But you have to create the indecision by sitting back and waiting. And I'll go back to the Dak Prescott game. He's not that, in my view, he's a good quarter, not great. 350 against the Steelers on, and that last play of the game, they decided not to go out. Just put as many people as you can in the end. Well, yeah. You gave him all. How much time did he have on that play? Like 8 seconds. Sooner or later, he's going to find someone. He's good enough to find someone, and he did. I would try to cause helter skelter with a quarterback.
The counterpoint to all of this would be someone saying, "Hey, when you look at some of the top 10, top 5 defenses they've had around here, they've put up some fancy numbers at times. Yeah, the sack totals, not so much this year." But in some years under Tomlin, yeah, they've played pretty good defense at time, except when it's really time to win. And then not only do they not play pretty good, they get picked apart like an expansion team. And that's not an exaggeration. Anywho, let's get back to the quarterback and maybe some other interesting prospects, Bob. At the Senior Bowl, Nick Faribault is there. He had a really interesting breakdown of it all today, including what he thought of some quarterbacks like Jalen Milroe and the Louisville kid, Schoaf. What's his name? What's that kid from Louisville? How do you say his name? Limits.
No, I think you have it right.
Thank you.